Back here on the game, John Kurtz, Tyler Dreiling, and Mitch Fortner. Congratulations to Casey. He is the second this week to get registered for the Royals Fan Fest giveaway. Again, four passes, $100 worth of barbecue, and a free hotel stay. That is an awesome, awesome package. I wish that I could be the one taking it, but it's not going to be me. Someone else will have it. Be listening the rest of the week. Tomorrow and Friday, we'll get someone else registered. And then second hour Friday, draw the winner. You'll be off to Kansas City next weekend. You can tweet your questions or comments to the game KMAN here throughout the show. Before we get into Around College Basketball, just for point of reference, we did do the math because, hey, if you're going to call and bring something up, I feel like this has happened a couple times now. If you're going to bring something to the table, we're going to make sure and fact check it, go look at some things here. So to the point of the caller about win percentages here, Frank Martin did win 68% of his games at K-State. Bruce Weber right now has won 61% of his games at K-State. Did you get me a conference win percentage?
No, I did get Bill Snyder, if you want to compare those two.
Okay, yes, because that was the other comparison. Table that for – I don't know if we need to justify that part of it. The Frank Martin comparison, okay, fine. That's one thing. Anyway, well, now I got my email popping up. You see what happens? Everything just got
all
totally
up.
Derailed by this.
Freaked me out a little bit.
I know. I'm sorry. I got these email conversations that just pop up. Anyway, 68% to 61% in terms of winning percentage. I mean, I think the obvious thing there is that, yeah, there was never worse than a 9-7 league record by Huggins or Martin when they were both here. That, to me, is the biggest thing that stands out, the biggest difference between the two. And, I mean, look, I know that there are some people, I'm sure, that feel that same way as Mark, who called in. I think that's the minority at this point in time after back-to-back losing seasons, going from 8-10 in the Big 12 to then 5-13, and now this year off to a 2-3 start. I mean, there's reason to be frustrated. I understand why people are, and that's part of why, like I said, when your position is not a good one, you start to look back, look at what other people have. And in K-State's case, you have a lot of X's around college basketball, and that was basically the conversation last segment. You know, which one of those guys hurt the most to see him coaching somewhere else? You're going to get one of them tonight in Brad Underwood for the first time in Calgary-Iowa Arena. But there's a lot else going on in college basketball, so it is time for Around College Hoops.
And now for a look around college basketball.
Bobby Knight just threw his chair clear across the free throw lane. Farouk Manesh, a three.
We're going to shock the world. Yeah. I told you we're going to shock the world.
There's the pass to Leitner. Puts it up.
Yeah. Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Kansas State heads to the Elite Eight.
This is Around College Basketball.
Only one Big 12 game last night. Featured one of the best performances by a league player this season. Baylor beat Texas by the final score of 74-64 in Waco, thanks to Jonathan Motley's 32-point, 20-rebound explosion. Tonight's slate features Oklahoma at West Virginia, plus TCU at Texas Tech, in addition to the Cats and Cowboys.
Makes you feel a little better about holding Jonathan Motley to single digits, doesn't it? After he goes and puts up 32-20 last night for Baylor.
I think he was a little bit upset at how that K-State game transpired.
Well, for him personally.
Right, right.
Yeah, maybe. That dude's a beast, and to me is one of the bigger figures of one of the pillars of the Scott Drew argument. He's a guy that's developed. He has developed a ton. Wyatt and I were talking about that on Wildcat Insider on Monday. Jonathan Motley's come a long way to a guy that's now putting up 32-20. That is crazy. TCU Texas Tech. Good game tonight. I mean, Oklahoma at West Virginia at the beginning of the year would have looked like the one that you'd pay more attention to tonight, but TCU Texas Tech, that is two surprising teams, at least to me, especially TCU, and I don't know, I'd almost lean TCU. I know Tech's been good at home. TCU's playing good basketball right now.
It's a really big game for both teams because what those teams don't have that like a Texas or an Oklahoma have, they don't have the name recognition, which means that their resume has to be even better to get into the NCAA tournament. At least I just feel like that's how it works out for them. So a win over the other would be a huge leg up in that argument because the Big 12 is probably a 4 or 5 bid league.
Hey guys, I think the real storyline now, Texas is keeping it close without Tevin Mack. K-State heads into this week's games. against Oklahoma State and West Virginia with a lot to gain in terms of postseason projection. And Joe Lenardi's latest bracketology, which came out on Monday, the Wildcats are the first team out of the tournament, along the last four in, Texas Tech and Wichita State.
Oh, by the way, I'll throw this in that gun. If you watched that game, that was not close last night. Baylor was out in front. I mean,
sure.
Final score looked closer, really, than the game actually was.
But how does Baylor not ball out Texas?
Well, I would... Comeback on
splitting
the last
hairs.
I would argue that it was a blowout. The way that the game actually transpired, the final margin was just 10. I'm surprised K-State is in the first four out. I'm surprised they're as close as they are right now, just based on the fact that there's zero top 100 wins. The strength of schedule isn't great, but it should provide you with a lot of hope about where this team's at. I mean, you said so much about how much a 2-0 week really changes the scope of things for this team this year, and even a win tonight that might vault you then into the last four in. If you do get a W. So there is, at least right now, more respect from Lenardi and the bracketologist than I would have anticipated.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you have to look at K-State as more than just the struggles they've had over their last two games. Their RPI is pretty solid, right around the 50 mark. Their strength of schedule, which was horrible entering the conference season, has really started to rebound. They're now in the top 100 in the country in strength of schedule, and that's only going to continue to increase. So there are things that computer-wise look pretty solid for K-State, but of course what really matters is starting to get over the hump in some of these games on the road, and that starts tonight.
Well, bad news for Marcus Foster and the 7th-ranked Creighton Blue Jays. Point guard Maurice Watson has been diagnosed with a torn ACL following his injury in their game against Xavier last weekend. Watson is averaging 8.5 assists per game this season, which leads the NCAA.
That just breaks my heart, man. I mean, he was a fun player to watch. I've actually watched Creighton a little bit this year because, one, it seems like they're on Fox Sports 1 just about every single night. So if you want some college basketball, you can find him. There's obviously, speaking of K-State basketball exes, the Marcus Foster angle there, too. He's averaging about 18 a night right now for a top 10 team. That's intriguing enough for me to tune in a little bit, but that's partner crime. 8.5 assists per game is ridiculous. You just hate to see a guy like that go down. I mean, I saw a lot of well wishes from other coaches in the Big East come out. Jay Wright, the one Villanova head coach right away, tweeting his sympathies there with Watson. And just a pretty nonchalant-looking play where it happened. He had been kind of knocked off balance after a somewhat of a drive to the basket, just landed wrong on it. Kind of makes you sick.
Yeah, it's too bad.
Similar to Kamau Stokes.
I mean,
the way that it looked.
Creighton is one of those teams that they're so good shooting the three ball, and that's what they do. If they are hot from three going into the NCAA tournament, that's a team that can win the national championship if they're hot. And if they're cold, they can absolutely get bounced in a 3-14 kind of game. And obviously this injury makes you think that it may lean toward the latter if they're not able to get that ball movement and get that open look.
And then finally, the Mountain West has reprimanded New Mexico assistant coach Terrence Rencher and Colorado State player Emmanuel Omogbo after their altercation outside CSU's Moby Arena last weekend. The player and coach were caught on video in a yelling match after the Lobos' victory.
My big problem with this, and I realize that there's fault to go around to everybody in this situation when it escalates to a player and a coach arguing outside an arena, and Larry Eustace was literally having to pull Emmanuel Omogbo back to the bus. First of all, supposedly there were some things said from New Mexico's coaches and their side of the ledger about Gian Clavel, who we remember from Colorado State, who had some issues with like stalking an ex-girlfriend, that type of thing. So they were making comments about that. See why that would really fire Emmanuel Omogbo up. But you're the coach. If you're the New Mexico side of things, you're the coach. So, Terrence Rencher, I'm putting more of that on you. Like, Omogbo may be coming after you, but he was sitting there jawing back and forth with him if you actually watched the video. I mean, he continues to entertain it, fire him up, antagonize him. That's where you have to be the bigger person because you're not the college athlete. You are on the coaching staff. And Larry Eustace pointed out as much to him as he was pulling Omogbo over to the bus.
Well, and this was not before the game trash talk. I mean, you had gone in and got the win. Your team won. So what is there to gain by continuing this afterwards? I know that things have kind of fallen apart for Colorado State. We were talking about it going into that game against K-State, that they appeared to be a team that could be really dangerous and maybe a contender in the Mountain West this year. Things have fallen off a little bit for them, but I would put more of the blame on New Mexico for sure.
Yeah, don't count on that Colorado State win coming back to being a top 50 RPI win.
Yeah, nah.
The way things are looking right now.
No, I don't think so.
We got You Can't Be Serious at 550. When we come back, the bandwagon is getting bigger, and I'm leading the charge. You're listening to The Game.